Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We'll voice it for you. Everything we talk about at It's Time. UFC, politics, film, TV, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and we have the perfect person for all those subjects on the show today. None other than my co-host, Peter DeFantis, but we have...
I was going to say, I know you're not talking about me.
No, not TJ, but again, you get part of it. Let's just bring on the man. We all love him. He's great. He's a legend. He's the king of pancreas. He's the most handsome man in MMA. There's no question. It's Boss Rudin. Boss, how are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for that introduction, Bruce. That's been a long time that you did that for me.
A long time. Well, I could have made it a little more of a rouser for you, but I'm just waiting for you to get back in and fight again, and then I'll give you the full intro.
Don't tempt him, Bruce. Boss Rudin doesn't need to go kick somebody's ass.
Let me tell you something.
I think it will be the other way around now. Let's take an arm. It's all atrophied. I got four neck surgeries. I'm
How's
out.
The shoulder, boss? Is that the atrophied arm because of the
shoulder? It's a nerve blockage that comes from my neck. I had four neck surgeries, and they say a nerve is like a hose, a water hose. You squeeze it, and less energy comes out. And apparently, somewhere it's blocked, and they can't figure out where it is. They've been looking for years now. So, really? But I got my hand back. I couldn't pull the trigger from a gun, so you can only
imagine wow.
how weak it was. Yeah. So now I got my hand back. I stopped complaining immediately.
Wow. So. I always worry about this, boss, because, you know, I mean, you're a man that take on anybody. God knows all the brawls you've been in, both in the cage, out of the cage, in the ring, out of the ring, in the bar, out of the bar, into the back alley. Okay. We all know that. One of the things that, you know, as I got older is like, can I still handle myself the way I used to handle myself if I had to go? Right.
Yeah.
If you had to go, will this work?
Oh, listen, I have guys here 24, 25 years of age, and they, in between rounds, they lay on the ground. I don't. So, I mean, from stamina,
right?
So we're going hard, and I feel really good. I think I almost look physically better than I was when I was competing. It's crazy, but also what I have to say is that when I was competing, you know me, man, I could train on beer and on a pizza. I say it was the dumbest thing ever. I never realized that food was so good for you until I did the last fight after 7 years of not competing. I got a guy who took care of my diet. And I felt like a million bucks. So after that fight, I just kept doing that, you know, keep eating healthy. So, yeah, no, I'm feeling great. There's no pains. My knees are hurting because I have no cartilage on my kneecap. So I can't roll. That is something I miss the most because the combinations are endless. But thankfully, I started going back to striking. I got one of those body action systems, the things that I said I've got right here in the backyard. And that's why I do these hard workouts on 40-minute workouts, 10 rounds or 3 minutes.
I was just going to talk about the boss system, Bruce. Have you seen this thing, this full-figured?
Send me one.
Oh, my God. They look so – like, I don't know how to throw strikes, but I want to be able to throw strikes when I see this damn thing because it looks like so much fun.
You know, and but the great thing is the body has a solar plexus. It has the shape for the liver shot and the spleen shot. If you hit it in that angle, you hit the perfect spleen or the liver shot, right. You know, and then you can hit uppercuts. You cannot do that on anything else.
Yeah.
It bounces right back. My thing is surviving. I broke one head and I'm kicking the head, which we tell people not to do because a lot of people, if you don't have technique, yeah, you can break it, of course. You know, if
right.
you don't pull your kick, yeah, then you're going to go straight through. You don't want to do that. But I'm hitting it as hard as I can. I'm kicking it in the head, and it stays in one piece. It looks like, oh, it's not going to make it. Trust me on it. And we will send you a new head. If you break it, you're going to get for free a new head.
No, I highly recommend it. That system is fantastic. And for every reason that boss, you know, pointed out about, you know, you mentioned your last fight, which, if I'm correct, was at the Forum here in Los Angeles, which I was at, not announcing, but watching you fight. The man you took on had a good 6 inches in height on you, reach, everything. And, man, you just went right at him. And I got to tell you, boss, knowing you and being your friend that night, I was like a kid in a candy store, man. I was jumping out of my seat watching you take this guy on. It was awesome.
It was cool. It was cool. It was officially, originally it was Kibo Leopoldo, but he got tested positive for something. And then thankfully, Ruben Valerial showed up. And then Don Fry called me like 3 days before. He said, dude, I fought that guy. He's very hard to knock out. He lost against him. And I go like, holy crap. Okay. And I had a rip out at my knees, everything, all my injuries. And then some I had going into the fight because people go, why don't you throw a high kick? I couldn't. I pulled my hamstring. But low kicks I could do. So suddenly when I realized I couldn't knock him out because I was hitting him hard. And I remember the first time he says, man, you're fast. I go, oh, thank you. And then I hit him again, full punch. But again, I couldn't torque as hard as I could because of the rip. And he thought, man, and you hit hard. I go, apparently not hard enough because you're still standing. And then I gave him a low kick. And then one low kick when I was moving backwards, I literally felt the bone of my shin touch his thigh bone. So that means his muscle was relaxed.
Oh, my God.
Click sound, you know? And I immediately go, that's it. That's it. He's over. And he started limping. And then I just gave him one more and the fight was over. So, yeah, it was cool because I never won by way of a low kick before.
Hey, on that low kick tip, boss, you know, over the last couple of years, we've seen that low calf kick really come into play in the UFC. I'm curious what you think about that and why is it something that is more effective now here in 2021 than, say, you know, back in the early days? I mean, we remember Marco Huas kicking the leg out of the polar bear, Paul Varlins, but now they're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, now kicking the calf. The calf is all about the open, about what stance you have. If you have an open stance, for instance, Whiteman and Anderson Silva, you don't want to kick you inside the calf kicks because you get hit bone on bone.
Right.
What happened was that kick that Anderson threw, he didn't turn open his hip. So he hit with the flat part of the shin. He hit the hardest part from the shin from Whiteman. That's going to snap.
Right.
I was in karate combat, and I was commentating. The main event, I mean, it was crazy. It was seven fights. It was 55 minutes, that show. It was bizarre. Everybody got knocked out. And they had an open stance. So one is an orthodox, the other one is southpaw. And first of all, he fires an inside low kick to the shin. And I'm commentating. I go, he should not do that. It's so dangerous. You can break your shin. And as soon as the words left my mouth, he kicked again, snapped the shin bone in half. So now if you have a normal stance and then you're a blading position, because my stance is different. I have an open stance. You can't calf kick. Calf kick me because you hit my shin bone. But in a bladed position, which 90% of the fighters fight, yeah, it's a very, very tough weapon. And especially also, so a lot of these guys, they block the wrong way, they check the wrong way. They just lift their leg. You have to understand, if you lift your leg, your muscle is going to be relaxed.
Right.
If your shin bone hits that, dude, you'll break the bone behind your tibia. You know, the fibula, I mean this, the tinier one. You'll break it very, very easy. So it's better to turn your toes like a 45-degree angle out to the side because now I only have to lift my leg and you're going to hit my full shin. So you kick me twice like that, I guarantee you, you're going to stop giving me low kicks.
So, boss, when you lift your leg, your leg's up, you're 45 degrees on your foot. Is the bottom part of the leg out or in?
No, the bottom part is in. I would stand like this. This will be the shin bone. For the people who don't understand, I explain it with my phone. Like, imagine this is a shin bone, like much longer and thinner, of course, but it's thin and it's wide.
Yeah.
This is easy to break, much easier than it is like this. That's why those ties, and your shin bone is like this, so that's why those ties kick from up till down, because they want to be perfect with that impact, because if they break the shin, well, their livelihood is gone.
Right.
But that's why these guys with the very fast low kicks, you saw Tyrone Spong doing it. He's got very fast low kicks, but he doesn't open his hip, so he hits with the flat part. And I always told him, I said, you got to watch out, because eventually you're going to hit somebody at the wrong moment, and it happened. He broke his shin bone, you see. So it's just opening up your hips. It's a little slower, but it's much safer to kick.
And when you saw Conor McGregor when he snapped his tibia, what did you, when you watched the video, did you feel like I did, that it was on the front teep kick, Muay Thai teep kick or front kick that he threw? And then when he came down with his elbow and caught the kick, that's what cracked it? Is that what you thought?
Yeah, but I think it's what we heard, found out later, that you already heard it in training. It starts with that.
Yeah.
You do think that helped? You do think that was it? Because a lot of people questioned.
No. I think that's where the crack was, where it all started. And you know, they couldn't find it because it was maybe minimum. I don't know. But then the second time when Dustin blocked it, I have it actually on my Facebook. I talked about it. You see McGregor kick and you see his calf muscle is hanging down. That means that foot is relaxed. The leg is relaxed. And then he hits just below the kneecap from Dustin Poirier, which is the hardest part of the shin.
Right.
You know, and I think because it's a relaxed leg, it's almost like hitting somebody and suddenly they bring in the target closer. So you're not squeezing your hand yet. You know, squeezing you do at the end of your punch, because otherwise you drain yourself. But if suddenly the target is here and you hit somebody, a skull, with a hand that is not flexed, you're going to break it. And right. then when I saw that calf hanging down, I go, oh, man, that's a relaxed leg. He throws his leg as dead weight, which a lot of fighters do. I do it myself as well. But uh-huh. with low kicks, that's the only exception I make because of that particular reason. And that's what I thought, think happened. That cracked it more. And then later in the fight, that front kick came, and I think that snapped the whole thing up. I always say this. I was fighting in Japan, and I saw a leg lock a day before on TV from our show. And I go, hey, that's a cool move, so I should try that out. So the next day, I'm in that fight, and I'm in that position. Now, I was very new to leg locks and to everything because it was my fifth fight or something. I didn't have any ground experience, but I just figured I'd try it. So I grabbed it, and I fell backwards, and we heard his knee pop, right? So I let go. I go, oh, because I had no clue how much power I put on his hand. What happened was, because he stands up and he says, no, my knee is good. And I look at the referee looks at me because, I mean, we heard it, right? We didn't hear the knee pop. We heard the shin bone go half.
Oh.
Now he kicked me with that same leg.
Mm.
And that's where the whole thing snapped off. But you see, wow. So it happens before. You get a crack there. That gets a little bit more of a crack. And then the final one, I believe, was the one to the elbow.
So, you know, in the UFC... I love your descriptions, boss. That's why I love your videos. You know, whether it's learning how to fight in a bar, a street fight, or whatever, the bang, bang, bang. Nobody does it better than you. Your descriptions are so visual. It's awesome. Keep up that great work, boss. It's so perfect.
Thank you.
So perfect.
I'm just happy we're on video because that explanation went to work in just an audio podcast. Oh, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So, you know, I a friend and I have been keeping track of like the last 7 or 8 UFCs. There's been broken bones or, you know, from the leg part in every single UFC.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It seems that the broken bones aspect, and I hope it stops there because I don't want to see any serious injuries on my shift in the octagon, right? I think we've only had a total of 3 deaths in MMA in the whole time the sport's been in existence. So our safety factor is extremely high, thank God. But broken bones and broken egos are part of the game.
Right.
I'm noticing much more broken bones happening now.
Well, one thing that we touched on, and I think is true with the McGregor injury, like Boss was talking about, is there are injuries that happen in the gym that are micro abrasions, micro fractures, and then they come to the surface when they're impacted in a fight. Like, I went to the doctor like 2 years ago complaining of a plantar fasciitis. I just thought I needed like inserts, and I went in and they did foot x-rays, and like, so when did you break your right foot? And I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? I apparently had a crack in my heel that had fixed itself, but ultimately, you know, healed wrong and gave me some issues. Those things, again, I'm not a fighter, I'm not training, but when you are, you know, have a high tolerance to pain, like someone like Connor does, I think you can have semi-serious injuries that are not necessarily detectable, and then unfortunately, your leg breaks in half.
Well, I think, like Boss said, all MMA fighters and boxers too, let's face it, a lot of the banging and the training and the bang, bang, bang you go through there. Boss fought hurt. How many people we know fight hurt?
Everybody does, right?
It's hurt. Yeah. I mean, how many fighters go in and are in perfectly clean shape? How can you do the way you train?
No, it's next to impossible.
Boss, you said to me one time that when you went and did entertainment wrestling in Japan, you got hurt more in wrestling than you did in regular fighting.
Yeah, I broke my disc in my discs in my back first match. The second one, I broke it pointed in my finger. I had a blind spot for like 6 months. And then the third one was I ruptured my eardrum. And my wife, after the third one, says, why don't you go back to real fighting? You never
right.
have injuries.
Yeah.
Because you let yourself get hit, you know, because it's in the script. Right. You know, so normally, I blocked that left too. But now with the flat hand, yeah, on my ear, beep. I mean, that thing that was broke for years because you, if you fix it, you can't fly for 3 weeks. Well, I was doing Pride Fighting Championships at the time every single month.
Right.
You know, 12 times because it was Bushido when it was Pride. So there was no way I could fix it. I could blow bubbles out of my ear at kids' parties underwater. Wow.
That's really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You'd be great at birthday parties, boss.
Yeah. You know what I did one time? Somebody had a cigarette. And that's a dumb move to do. I said, give me the cigarette. See if I can blow it out. Yes. Smoke came out of my ear, but it hurt a lot.
So I bet. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Hey, boss, you know, you brought up Japan, and TJ and I were talking before he came on. But mainly TJ, he brought it up. I wasn't really realize this, but has MMA weakened in Japan? I mean, it used to be one of our biggest fan sets. Yep. Is it like slowed down over there?
Completely slowed down. You know, there's no new champions. And if you look over the years, how many Japanese fighters we had who are really good?
Yeah.
Look at America, we got hundreds. You know, you don't have that amount over there.
No.
You know, and you have these crazy guys popping up, Gomi and Vanderlei Silva, you know.
Yeah.
They're freaking awesome, but we need more of them because these guys, I love their technology. They're always super technical, you know, because physically they're simply a little weaker, you know, but they make up a technique. And that's why their ground game is so fast and some of these strikers are so great just because of that reason.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me, though, is like there are shows in Japan, but the fanfare is not what it was. I remember, you know, staying up super late to try to catch internet streams of Pride and then waiting the delay for the pay-per-view and, you know, staying in touch with Shudo over the years. You know, that's where all that talent came from. And I don't know, boss, like what necessarily happened. Because like you have Ryzen, but Ryzen doesn't seem to appeal to the American fan base the way that Pride did. And it's unfortunate for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I think also it is, you know, once when Pride happened and the whole Yakuza story came in, if it's true or not, whatever it's
right.
true, but we know that the TV channel pulled out and then the people start realizing that and they're very against that. So I think to build up a new organization, maybe that's for a lot of these people still in their minds. And then once they get that away and they fill up, I mean, 48,000 was considered a small show.
Right.
Saitama Super Arena would expand 48,000 yeah. people. I fought. Oh no, that was a pro wrestling match. That was in the Tokyo Dome. Like 60,000 people. We did 91,500 the Dynamite show outside. 91,500.
That was the one that Antonio Inoki parachuted in, right?
Yeah.
Think about what you guys are talking about. That show can't exist anywhere. 91,000 people aren't showing up for any fight today.
Hey, the largest fight scene we ever had for UFC was 55,000 at Rogers Arena in Toronto the night I blew my ACL in the octagon. But I was in Japan on December 31st one night. I know we all remember this when Hoist Gracie fought the big sumo wrestler.
Yeah, Akebono.
Antonio Inoki had Bumbaye. We had, I think, 45,000 people in the audience for that one, which I was announcing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Gracie's fighting on the thing. There was a third show on.
Right, and they were all on TV, too, I believe.
They were all on TV, and it captured about 60% of the TV audience of Japan to show you how big the sport is.
That's bigger than the Super Bowl.
Bigger than the Super Bowl. And when Gracie fought Akebono, everybody went over to watch that fight. I mean, the ratings went way up.
Yeah.
Akebono being the hero. Let's face it, you have a national hero in Japan, much less any Asian country, they're all going to switch over and watch that channel. You know, you mentioned something about weakness with Japanese fighters, boss. And then we take like Korean fighters and Chinese fighters who have very strong physiques. Is that something just for the Japan nature, or how do you figure that out?
I don't know. It's like I always look. There's exceptions to the rules, you know.
Yeah,
I fought Funaki. He felt very strong. And Shibuya, but those are the two only guys that I felt like okay, they have some power, you know, in them. So, and if you look at the world games, you know, where do you see him in weightlifting, and where do you see so if you look at that, you know, that's not their field. But like I always said, that's nature's crazy way of dealing with that. They just get technically much better. That's why I get so upset about these guys who lose the fight and then they go like, yeah, it's because he cut more weight than I did. No, dude, just brush up on your freaking, really? Because he's 5 pounds heavy. That's why heavier than you, you're going to lose. I mean, I should be ashamed to say that. I mean, we fought guys 65 pounds heavy at the time. Sure, it was a different time, you know, but nowadays, look at the heavyweight division. I mean, it's 205 to 265. That means cruiserweight, right? That we need the 230 to 35 because it's too insane.
Yep.
You got Gano. Imagine you can't go higher than 225. So you're 225 pounds. You find a guy who's probably on the day of the fight 285, muscles, with stamina, with technique. It's a whole different animal right now.
Eve Edwards tells a story about fighting in a rodeo ring in Texas where he's fighting a guy that's like 245 pounds and Eve is like 170 pounds. He said, boss, that you actually cornered him, but he had no idea, you know, that he was going to be fighting this heavyweight fighter. And I mean, we all think of Eve Edwards as, you know, the guy that, you know, knocked out Josh Thompson at 155. Like that was what it was back in the day. If you wanted to fight, you had to prepare to fight someone that could potentially be 45 pounds heavier than you, even when you weren't a heavyweight.
All right,
that was easy. So, sorry, Bruce. And Eves is an animal. Eves is an animal. We had Dwayne Ludwig. His opponent fell out. It was the boss with the Invitational in Colorado.
Right.
And a guy from the audience says, oh, I'll fight him. And the guy was much bigger, much older. Dwayne was 19. You know, he was a kid. And that was the first time I got introduced to Dwayne because he high-kicked him in the head and the guy dropped off. And that's where we got a connection, of course.
Right.
Like, oh, this is a kid that's special. So that's how we got in contact with each other.
Little boss. No one calls Bang that anymore, but that's what it was at first.
Yeah, and now he has his son, Little Bus. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
That's cute. You know, we're talking about the weight differentials. Now we talk about people coming up. Israel Adesanya moved from middleweight to light heavyweight, which didn't work out for him going against Juan Błachowicz. I mean, the power difference was obvious.
He didn't win, Bruce, but I still think he performed admirably. He was taking on the champion.
Admirably. But I, like I said on the show after that fight, I think he should stay at middleweight.
Yeah.
Dominate. Now you've got John Jones going from light heavy to heavyweight, walking around probably at 235 with the weight muscle he's putting on and everything. The skill set of a John Jones facing a 265 Ngannou, you never know what's going to happen. Granted, Ngannou could take him out with one punch, but you never know what's going to happen. How do you feel about Jones going up and how he'll handle himself in the heavyweights? And then a two-part question, how do you feel about Ngannou and Gane, which I think is amazing because we have two French champions, which is awesome for the marketing of the UFC and worldwide recognition. But let me get back to the question. How do you feel about John Jones in heavyweight? How do you think he would do? And then how do you think Gane and Ngannou would pan out?
I think John is going to do phenomenal. I think he could be the best guy there is. I mean, he's technically everywhere. He can take Ngannou down, you know, and he will be able to do that. At 235, he will fight more to his natural weight. I think that's going to help him a lot. He's going to be faster. He's probably going to have longer stamina or more stamina. And he has a longer reach. He's got the reach advantage over everybody. You know, so if he feels threatened on his feet, he'll go for a takedown. And once he has one takedown, now he's inside the head of Ngannou or whoever's going to win that fight, Gate or Ngannou. You see, what is it going to be? It's going to be another takedown or a headshot. And then right. He has that thing also, he has no patterns. Like every fighter does certain things certain way. And you can, like, for instance, what they say, do you game plan? I say, what I always do, I look at the first fights till all the other fights. And I pick out the things that they did from the first fight on. They always go back. All these later things that they develop, that's BS, because they might forget that again. You know,
right.
What is last knockout with a back kick? Oh, be afraid for the back. No, maybe you just got lucky. Don't focus on that. Focus on the stuff that they always do and try to find counters for that. And with Jones, that's a very hard thing to do.
That,
he's constantly breaking his patterns.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. Like I mentioned, or I remember a guy like Sean Sherk. Sean had like one combo that he threw his entire career. It was a jab cross hook. And he did that throughout. He, you know, picked up some other things, but you're right, boss. Like he had that core combo that he had from fight one all the way through his career. And I think that is something that you're probably hitting on, that athletes, when they do tape study, that they tend to look at the last fights and what have you done lately, when they need to be looking at those building blocks that are the core of those fighters.
I still think the most simplistic moves in fighting win fights.
Right.
The
jab,
the cross, the roundhouse.
I mean, that was George St. Pierre's best tool. You know, that jab of GSP, like jab St. Pierre, like look what he did to Koscheck with that jab.
But George also should always did. There was always, okay, today he worked on a back fist and a back kick. Because then in the fight, he would fight like he normally did, but then he would catch him with a lot with a back fist or a back kick. And then the next fight, he changed that again. So he was never the same as the last fight. You know, the core is there, but then, you know, he would change his attacks, which, again, is a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, very smart. You know, Ngannou and Gane, how do you see that happening?
Yeah. Oh, well, Gane, he really impressed me, man. I did somebody asked me for a prediction, so I looked him a little bit up. I mean, you know that this guy started Thai boxing in 2016.
Really?
And then he had like a 13-0 record with like 9 knockouts, right?
I didn't know
then
that.
Then he goes, then in 2016 or 18, he decides to do mixed martial arts. This guy's been doing it for 2.5 years.
See, I thought he had an extensive history with kickboxing, but wow, we're talking about a 5-year pro fight career, and now he's UFC champion. Like that might be one of the highest rises to you know, that height in combat sports history, to be honest with you.
I think so too.
Does anybody know his past athletic things outside of fighting? Because of the way he moves, the fluidity of his movements as a heavyweight is very impressive.
Yeah, let me look at it. I think he did something with, like, not necessarily pro sports, but he was a high-level something.
Has to be.
Yeah.
But you know what he figured out really fast is, like, footwork. Footwork is everything. Distance between your opponent. You know, my claim to a cool thing was when Holloway fought McGregor all the way back. And it was both for them, I believe, the fourth fight in the UFC. And then Holloway beat him. And afterwards, we were talking about on Inside MMA. They said, what do you think of McGregor? I said, well, he's great. He's got great accuracy, great hands. You know, he's a great fighter. What do you think of Holloway? I said, I think he will be the next UFC champion. And they go like, but he lost. I go, yeah, but the way he was controlling the distance, you don't see that a lot. That he has a really great way to stay just outside your reach So he can counter. What do you know? He became the UFC champion. So just by saying that, it's distance is everything. And that's what I think Gane or Gane has as well. He's got great distance constantly.
Getting back to his athletic past, Gane was a soccer player and a basketball player. And footwork is something. Like Jose Aldo was a soccer player. Kenny Florian was a soccer player. Like you learn a lot of footwork in that you don't think necessarily is applied to fighting, but it definitely is. You got to be fleet of foot in those sports.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's applied to fighting and even in basketball. That's why he can move backward and punch. That's why, you know, the ability, which I've said this on the show before, boss. A really high skill fighter should be able to go backward and punch with power, go, you know, forward. As
that was Chuck Liddell.
Every fighter has that thing. Chuck Liddell, the prime example of all of that.
Yeah, Oscar De La Hoya in boxing. Yes. It was also good to
that. How that.
You know, and you we'll see it all the time. Goes. The reason, with Vitor now, right?
They
coming up. You know, Vitor, I mean, if he solely focuses on boxing, he's good, man. He can box, you know, and imagine he's been doing this for the last 6 months. I think this is going to be a fight. It's not going to be an easy win by De La Hoya.
Did you guys see the
competitive fight than the Askren Jake Paul fight? You know, and hopefully Tyron Woodley is going to be a good competitor for Jake Paul when that happens too. You know, while we're on the subject, boss, how do you feel about all the exhibition fighting going on with these matchups? And right now, they just announced Tito Ortiz.
That's what I was going to say.
Nova are going to box and Thriller. Tito's not a boxer.
Okay. He blocked punches like his opponents had big gloves on. Like he tried to do that parrying style. Didn't work out for him. Maybe it'll better suit for him here.
Vito is the guy who kept on working. And in his last fight against Chuck, he got him on his own game. I mean, so.
But that wasn't Chuck. I mean, that wasn't prime Chuck.
You know. But still, I think Tito's always a guy who keeps learning. You know?
Yeah.
And what did I want to say? Oh, by the way, Jake Paul and Tyrone. I don't know. He's not a real striker, Tyron. Tyron Woodley has great power, and when he connects, it's over. But you won't see him throwing combinations. And Oni's been doing boxing, so you know this is going to be tougher than they think it is. I'm telling you, because I have the utmost respect for the Paul brothers. I mean, whatever they say and doing, they're doing something good. They're making, first of all, a killing of money, but they really study the art and they're really busy with their boxing and. I think he did phenomenal against Mayweather. I mean, sure, he was heavier, and I get all that. But this is a guy who's 50-0, you know, considerably the best boxer ever. So going the distance with a guy like that, yeah, but he was probably holding back. I know all that.
Sure.
Still.
We had Dean Thomas on the show, who's worked extensively with Tyron, and you know he said that he believes Tyron can win if he boxes Jake Paul, but if he tries to just knock him out and tries to land that right hand, it's going to be a lot harder, is what Dean said. He didn't say he would necessarily lose, but you're right, boss. I think we're going to have to see Tyron Woodley do something that he hasn't done throughout his career, and that's just straight box.
Well, here's combinations.
Combinations. Here's the thing. One of the many things. We're in the sport of mixed martial arts. How many mixed martial artists of even the top degree can hold their own in a boxing ring with the Marcus of Queensbury rules and only two weapons?
Only a handful of it really done it. Like Chris Lytle had some success boxing. Well, Jens Pulver.
Oh my God.
How crazy.
Just a handful. So like, you know, the opponents out of UFC or MMA are being handpicked because I could think of much better opponents for Jake Paul in this case.
Oh yeah. No,
with all respect to Tyron, who I love, okay? But I'm only saying on the base of what you said, he's not a boxer. Now, hopefully he's training for the boxing, but he's not a boxer. People don't really understand, as I know you do, boss, how difficult, as MMA is extremely difficult, but how difficult it is to become a good boxer and manage the two-weapon Marcus of Queensbury rules with the moves and everything. It is not easy.
Listen, I'll give you a real example because they say, oh, kickboxing is more difficult than boxing and mixed martial arts is more difficult. Well, if you're really thinking about boxing is the hardest thing. Because boxing, you only have these weapons.
Right.
In Thai boxing, I can give an inside low kick, gets a distraction, come over the top with the Ross cross. I can wrap it up with kicks. I can use more tools to open up your guard. In boxing, you know what you got. You got the straight punches, the hooks to the body, straight punches, uppercuts. That's it. And with that arsenal, you're still going to have to be able to create an opening to land a knockout blow. So if you really break it down, that needs more level of technology than anything else.
And that's something, too, that I think people fail to realize. Like, I understand 4-ounce gloves in mixed martial arts. They're devastating. They land very hard. But when you get hit with a boxing glove, a big, 10, 12-ounce glove, like, it goes through you. Like, you can't take a lot of shots. And we'll see, you know, what Tyron is like in that matchup. But I don't know. It's something that, like you said, guys, like, you have to respect that art and totally reinvent yourself if you're coming from a different sport. And at the end of the day, Tyron Woodley, he's got power. He turned into a striker, but he's a wrestler. And, you know, like you guys said, Jake Paul's been nothing but boxing since day one.
Well, let's talk about the safety factor of the boxing glove. The boxing glove was made to protect the hand.
Right.
The
head. Yeah.
That pillow, as people call it, which is really not a pillow.
It's not a pillow.
We know, causes the brain to rattle more.
Yeah.
When it gets hit than anything else. And you've got guys coming off losing weight just 24 hours before with less fluid in their cranium. This is one of the reasons boxing is so dangerous.
Right. The weight cut in boxing, though, is significantly different, though, than in MMA. And that's another thing. Like, I don't know how much weight Tyron's going to be cutting, but Tyron can't cut a lot of weight like he did in MMA. It's got to be a different sort of cut.
But and look at Lethwei, you know, the art of it. Oh, man. Nine limbs with the headbutts.
Yeah.
How many people there have CRT? TBI, whatever
it is.
It's so it's bare knuckle. But once it's bare knuckle, you have to watch out more. It's the same as rugby and football, American football.
Right.
In rugby, they don't go as hard.
No, they can't. They're
going to break something, but when you got all the back, it's way more dangerous because the hits are going to be much harder.
Yeah.
Again, as you said, they have to protect the hand, which makes it more dangerous.
You have a false sense of security with that padding, and it's not what you think it is. And those athletes that play football, like, there's a reason they're hurt the way they are. Where you look at rugby guys, and yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a rough and tumble sport. They're getting hurt too, but you just don't hear about the injuries the way that you do in football.
Exactly. Yep. And that's why I think that the traumatic brain injury, all that stuff, is way less with those sports and way less with bare knuckle boxing, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because you can't hit the skull. If I would be bare knuckle boxing, I would be the guy like, what is that movie with Charles Bronson that he's the fighter, right?
Hard Times. I love that movie. Hard Times. Yeah.
He just bops over and hits the top of his head. That's what I would do.
Right.
I had a really famous fighter, actually. My first sparring session, this was hilarious. And he said, do you want to spar? I said, that was after 7 years for my last fight. I go, no, not yet. I just started. He says, no, it's okay for me. I said, no, I'm just worried. He said, no, but it's okay. I'll hold back. I said, oh, I'm not worried for me. I said, I'm worried for you. I said, because if I give you a high kick and I see you don't block, normally I have a reflex. I can re-guide it and it's off. I said, but that reflex I don't have right now.
Right.
It's on its way. It's on its way. I said, and by the way, don't throw the overhand. Because let's wait till we a little bit into it. And the first thing he throws, big overhand, boom, in my neck. And I look at him, I go, okay, I will mess your hand up the next time you do it. That's it. And we start sparring again, and there it came. And the only thing I did was this. And he hit the top of my head.
Right.
He was on the ground with 60-ounce gloves. He goes, shit. I said, I told you, I'm going to break your head. I'm going to hurt you. You know, if you do that. So if fighters start realizing this, and you just bop forward when the cross comes, you're going to mess everybody up, even with an MMA glove.
Yeah.
This is the thing what people don't seem to get, right? Oh, and I just talked about it in the opening as well. If you punch somebody, the muscle is relaxed. At the very end, you squeeze for the reason what I said before. Otherwise, you drain yourself. Now you have to understand, suddenly, you're not squeezed yet. You hit with full power, and now the target suddenly does this. Now you hit the skull with a relaxed hand.
Yep.
It's going to give. You lose it. That's why Mike Tyson in fights on the street, every single fight he was in, he broke his hand. That's because of that reason.
Getting back to the bare knuckle thing too, I think a lot of people think it's super brutal. And yeah, it looks really bad, but like, people are just getting cut. Like, those abrasions and stuff, like, they're not as bad as you think it is. Like, I'm not a big fan of bare knuckle personally. But at the end of the day, like, anybody that's saying it's like super barbaric, like, don't get me wrong, it looks hard. It looks like, you know, it's a gruesome thing sometimes, but those are just aesthetic injuries more than anything else.
It's visually barbaric.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
It, you know, and you can't keep talking to your kids. You're not going to develop a speech impediment or something, you know? I think that's much more important than have a little superficial cuts on your face.
Right, yeah. Those will heal relatively quickly. You can't heal the brain.
Yep.
What can we do? Hey, listen, boss, a mutual friend of ours, may he rest in peace. Let's talk about him for a second. You know, a very close friend of yours, Kevin Randleman. Friend of mine over the years, announced him many times. I always remember that at the low point of the UFC, right before the Fertittas and Dana bought it, we were in Louisiana one time, and I'm in the octagon ready to announce the main event between Kevin and another fighter, and they go on my IFB, and they say, Kevin can't fight. I go, what do you mean? He just slipped on a pole and knocked himself out in the back, you know? And then you have those wars he had in Pride, and, you know, whether it's Crow Cop or whatever. I mean,
He nearly killed Fedor. My God, like Kevin Randleman.
Fedor, yes.
And no, I mean, he knocked out Krokop too. So like,
just a warrior personified. And I think out of friendship and out of admiration for this man and his career and the person that he was and is, I just want to mention his name, boss, because he deserves it. And I know he
to you. Yeah, I posted a post yesterday also about him because he's a special guy, man. The whole Rutans, everybody loves him. You know, we went to his wedding with the kids and we danced all night long. The next day was the best because everybody was there. Some had a hangover. There was a pool. There was a volleyball net. And they started playing water volley. And then suddenly the adults start coming in and the kids start coming in. Now we had two teams and it went on, man. It was a lot of fun. That really stays with me. He was such a good dude. Always a smile on his face. He's the guy who started the El Wapo, you know.
Because I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was. I believe it was in 2000, 2001, with the big tournament in the Pride Fighting Championships. I was eating breakfast with Ken Shamrock and Ken Shamrock's ex-wife, Tina Shamrock, who's Mexican. And we were talking about, and then Coleman was there and Randleman was there. And we were talking about the movie, The Three Amigos, which is one of my favorite movies. It's a hilarious movie. And I go, what does El Wapo mean, by the way? And she says, the handsome. I said, oh, that's funny because I always called myself the most handsome fighter. So when Randleman got up from the table, he says, okay, Wapo, we see you later. And that was it. From
that wow.
Time, he started calling me Wapo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Started doing it. Yeah.
One thing about Kevin that I think people don't know is how big his heart was when it came through, you know, whether it was charity, he had his little Monsters wrestling team, he was doing things with the kids, but also the challenges he had outside of fighting. Staph infection almost killed him. He came back from that. He was in a horrible car accident. He came back from that.
Ate away his pectoralis.
Right, yeah. And you know, he had...
Staff.
Right. He had some other, you know, demons that he was very open with early in his career from when he was a child. And it's like those are the challenges that don't get remembered in the record. When you look at the Fight Finder page, you don't see that. But if you know Kevin's story, this man was given some at times the worst hand, dealt the worst hand. And he played it so well and did so many great things. And anytime I talk to Boss, I always want to bring up Kevin like you do, Bruce, because he's a guy that should be remembered. He's a Hall of Famer in my book and, you know, one of the great ambassadors of the sport.
Absolutely. No question.
Yep. He was also, you know, the kid that he saved from suicide, right? That he literally said, hey, call me right now. And he wanted to finish it. And that guy became a friend, you know, call him for advice once in a while. Who does that? Just to a fan. Here's my number.
Right.
As a fighter, you normally don't want to do this. Because once it's out, it's out. You know, and but yeah, that's the guy he was. Amazing.
You know, that's how I got my start in MMA broadcasting. Quentin Jackson went to like the Sprint store and he got two phones. One line was free. So he started taking incoming calls from fans. I asked if I could interview him and now I'm talking to you guys like 15 years later.
Yeah, an evolutionary process, but rest in peace, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yes. I call you my friend. It was a pleasure to announce you and know you. Most definitely. Most definitely. Boss, swinging to another subject, you know, we talk about film and everything else. We were both in Here Comes the Boom, right? You know, Kevin Jayne's fantastic, Salma Hayek, everybody was great. Boss, even my brother Brian and other people I know, when they watch the movie, they talk about Boss Rutan, how funny you were and how good you were in that. And you have a natural presence on screen that's just, it's just incredible.
He's kind of handsome, right?
Yeah, well, he's
with the good lighting.
Anything more in film? Is there any more anything happening in there?
Yeah, we are talking. Just before COVID hit, I was going to be part of a movie of a number two of a movie. I can't say which one it is, but the first one did really well, and I was really looking forward to that because this guy time was going to be a badass part. So then I would have a big movie comedy, and then the next one would be the badass part. But I already heard that it will happen, so it's going to come up. I will contact him again. It's good that you said that because I'm such a knucklehead, man. I'm like the anti-self-promoter. You know, I won't go out and say, hey, man, I always think that, well, if God puts it in my way, I'll do it. You know, but you have to grab it. You have to go towards it. So great that you brought this up because I'll give him a text message right now.
Hey, we were just on a meeting yesterday with Cameo, right? And what did I say on that Cameo? You have to ask for the job. You got to promote yourself. And while we're on the subject, Boss Rutan, everybody listening, is on Cameo. I mean, I can't think of a more entertaining cameo than to have a cameo from Boss Rutan.
I agree.
Yeah, and TJ's on Cameo too.
That's true.
Cameo, but Boss, go check out Boss Rutan on Cameo. Most definitely.
It's a lot of fun. You know, I really enjoy these things. I had some really serious ones, and you probably had one as well.
Yeah.
Like the wife who's a big fan, who has stage 4 cancer. She's not going to make it. Can you give her a message to her? You know, and that's like, oof. Then it starts, and then you try to be upbeat because that's what they want. You don't want to bring it down. Want. But how many times I went 10 minutes, that's at least 20% from the time, you know, because once I enjoy it or help people with it, or they ask me, oh, if my first fight coming up, could you please tell them what to do? Well, then I go into it, you know, because, and I really like it. You know, it's cool to help people in such a way, and they're responding to it in a good way, which is always good.
That's one thing I will say about fighting. Everyone knows that, you know, what we're doing is talking about, you know, two grown adults going into a cage or a ring and fighting and trying to hurt one another. But at the end of the day, the community is so strong. It brings so many people together. And without fighting, without mixed martial arts, I'd still be living in the Midwest, not knowing anything about the world. And, you know, fighting has brought so many different people in my life. And, you know, it's cool. It's a worldwide international sport that at the end of the day is a very small community.
Hey, it's changed all of our lives. Speaking of which, Karate Combat, congratulations on that, boss. How's everything going with Karate Combat? Anything you want to tell us or promote about it?
Yeah, it's going really well. I mean, well, you saw the guy who got disqualified because he kicked too hard at the
right.
Somebody knocked out. It's a Karate Combat fighter. So, you know, and I go, and then Karate Combat posted something. They said, he lost because he was doing karate. I mean, guy was coming in and he got kicked. I mean, well, that's the same with us, you know. If somebody turns at the moment you give a punch, you hit the back of the head,
right? That's not on you.
Yeah, that's not on me, you know. And I think they should have ruled it like this as well, but you know, that's the name of the game.
Hey,
that's why these like guys love to fight a Karate Combat, because all limits are off.
That clip might be more beneficial to that man than a gold medal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, true.
Boss, we're going to let you go. Really appreciate you being on the show. Is there anything you want to promote? Anything you want to do or say anything? Go for it. Let it go.
The only thing is, and it's not out there yet, and we have such a bad luck with it. I mean, my money, everything is in it. I got it. It's my auto trainer, the lung training device that I invented. Right now it's bought by pulmonologists for the COPD and asthma patients. It's doing wonders. This is a commercial out there that I say, if you do this, it's only 4 minutes a day. You do this for 1 month, every day for 4 minutes a day. And I've been doing it for 3 years, every single day. I might have missed 40. I say, if your asthma or COPD is not 70% gone or more, I'll give you your money back. So that's guaranteed. So that's how good it is. And that's why these pulmonologists are buying it right now. But we had a lot of bad luck, man. I'm 9 months late. We ordered this thing in August 2020.
Oh, man.
And now there's a new model. Now I'm going to probably this week, today, they're going to give me, because it was one thing that needed to be changed. It's a clicking sound in one of the functions. And if that is fixed, then we can start selling. So it's called O2 Trainer. Nobody realized that you have 11 pounds of breathing muscles. Muscles that you cannot
really
count. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Intercostal. Yes, you see, that's where I'm going. My stamina, when I told you, I do stamina maybe once, maybe twice a week. And I will circle stamina-wise around my students who are half my age or younger.
Wow.
They go, how is this possible? I say, because your breathing becomes so good. Understand that 95% of the people breathe wrong. We all use our shoulders. And if you see a fight of me with Funaki, and I posted that on the Facebook page that I have for about Auto Trainer, you see, in the corner doing this, breathing, and okay, I knock him out later. I get lucky with a knee in the face. That was all cool, but I was breathing completely wrong. That is completely gone. Now I come out of a heart round, I'm literally like this. And every time I go, what the heck? This is so insane, you know?
Wow.
And I'm just training the breathing muscles.
So this is good to use no matter what, whether you have COPD or not.
No matter what, it's good for everybody. As soon as one is out, Bruce, I'm going to send you one. I would love to try just for 1 month every day. You too, TJ, just do it. It's 4 minutes a day. Now, don't think, because I tell these people also, I need to see videos of you doing it 40 times. Because this morning I was doing it here, and it's a workout. You're going to feel your core. If you see my core, how thick it is right now, all these muscles came forward, because those are the breathing muscles. I went to Dr. Belisa Vrenich, a world-renowned breathing expert. And the first thing she did was measuring my expansion, chest expansion, right? She was in New York, Fifth Avenue.
Right.
So she says, okay, exhale. Okay, inhale. And she goes like this. And she starts laughing. She goes, no, that's not possible. Do it again. And she does it again. And she goes, oh, wait. And she walks out. I go, okay. And she comes back with another doctor. I go, okay, it's either really good or really bad. She goes, we've never seen any numbers like this. I mean, if I don't bring him, he's not going to believe what I just measured. You know, so my chest expanded. Normally when they break the record, so to say, for chest expansion, it's by an eighth of an inch. Mine was almost 2.5 inches more than everybody else. So they said, what is it? And then we found out it's this thing. So she put it in her book, and she is a world-renowned breeding expert. So
wow.
Suddenly it started catching fire, and people started using it.
Good for you, hey, boss.
I'd love to get that from my announcer's lungs.
Seriously?
Yeah, my training lungs.
You're going to speak so loud, guys. You can sing. So, you know, when I was training with it with the prototype, every restaurant we went to, my wife would say, keep your voice down. And I go, I'm not. But you get so much power, Bruce. You'll freak out. I have a review from the sax player from the Eagles, who's with them for 18 years. And he said, I have longer, stronger notes. It's a great tool.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That's one thing that I mean, we've all heard, like, you know, breathing techniques when you're fighting or doing things like that. But I never actually thought about the technique of breathing to breathe and just to work out your ability and your cardiovascular ability from, you know,
breathing muscles.
Yeah, like I never thought, like, you tell me about that system, boss. Like, I had no idea that there's 11 pounds of breathing muscles. That's insane to me.
That's insane. And, you know, I pride myself in my core. I've still got a six pack at my age.
The implants, Bruce. Ab implants.
And a lot of people. Like,
if that'll even create more core strength, because I'm all about core strength.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We joke all the time, boss, because a picture of me got on the internet at a pool one time and people said I had ab implants, which still cracks me up. I mean, who the hell gets ab implants? I'm sure it happens. Eat right and train, okay? Do what you got to do. Do your sit-ups. Do whatever it takes. But this is cool. I want to try this out. I want to try this out, boss. And the other thing is, too, we talked about my new site, millions.co, I told you about. I'd love for you to get on that, because we'll move that product for you when it comes in. You can move it through Millions, and I'll get you even more publicity for that product.
I'm going to jump on it, brother. I'm going to check it all out.
Definitely. Family's good?
Family's great. We're very lucky. Nobody's sick. Everybody's healthy. And we always know that's the most important thing in life, right? Look at Kevin Randleman. That kid has, right? Yeah. So enjoy the friendship that people have. And that's why the whole thing right now, the world is going crazy. You know, just because we have a different opinion, people are fighting. I always tell people when they start yelling at me, go, whoa, stop. What is your favorite color? And it throws them off. And they go, oh, red. I go, mine is blue. I say, you should change yours to blue. And they go like, what do you mean? I want it to be blue. No, but I say, okay, but, and then I keep going for a little bit.
Right.
And then I say, but are you angry right now? And they go, no, I'm not angry. I said, but that's because it's about a color.
Right.
My opinion, if it's different political wise than yours, you shouldn't get angry about that. Why are we so divided? You know, it's just an opinion that I have or an opinion that you have. Let it go, man.
I'm stealing that, boss. Next time someone comes at me hard with that whole argument about something I don't agree with and they get mad at me, I'm going to ask them what their favorite color is and rip them on it, you know, grill them, because you're right. It's ridiculous.
I like that comeback.
Yeah,
I definitely do. Listen, boss, love you, brother. My best to your family. Just wishing you all the best. You're doing great. I follow you on Instagram. I see everything you're talking about. You're so motivating. Just keep it up, boss. Just keep being boss.
Love you too, brother. And I will keep on going. You don't worry about that. And hopefully this week we got the new product coming out. And then I can finally jump back to waiting for me. For me is the worst thing on the planet. And I've been doing it for 9 months now. So
I can't wait to try it, boss.
Godspeed. I have guys buying it for their apps right now. Never had apps, and now they have apps. That's how we're
working. Wow, that's awesome.
Crazy.
And I can't wait to get a 10 app pack.
That will be
there you go. Awesome, boss. Thank you, sir. We'll chat soon.
Guys. Thanks, DJ. Thanks, Bruce.
Bye, boss. Take care.
Love you guys.
Bruce. Love you too. Bye-bye. Bruce.
It's Boss Rutan. Awesome. One of the best. One of the greatest of all time, honestly. Not just as a fighter, but just a human being. Like, but you know, I actually forgot we were on the air a little bit there, Bruce. It's just such a easy guy to talk to.
He's so easy. He's just so much fun. Just hang with boss, you know, for a couple hours. I mean, he came down to my birthday party, you know, when I turned 60, and it's like, he's just the life of the party, you know?
Right. Yeah. They say that, you know, they don't make him like they used to. They don't make him like Boss Rutan anymore.
No, that's absolutely true. A true man's man.
Yeah. 100%.
Funny as funny can be.
I'm curious about his product, though, because the O2 trainer has been out for a while, and it's been basically used to, you know, get in better cardio shape for athletes. But the fact that he's talking about COPD and things like that, like, I mean, this could be a life-changing device for so many people.
Well, I've seen, you know, like for instance, when my mom had pneumonia, you know, in the hospital, they give you a thing that you similar like to breathe like that, but it's not an apparatus that looks like that.
Right.
It seems like that apparatus on steroids.
It seems
like a much better apparatus. So I'm interested to try it. I mean, with it.
You know? It's funny how inventions, you know, for one thing can end up turning into another thing, because again, you know, it starts as something that will restrict your breathing when you're working out. But now apparently can actually build the lung capacity of people that are, you know, compromised lungs. Like that's a great story there. If it works out the way that Boss believes it will.
Well, it created it for one reason and began to help for another reason, a medical reason. So I hope Boss makes a ton of money out of it. And I hope, first off, I hope it helps a ton of people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
In turn, he makes a ton of money out of it because it's well deserved.
Well, it's one thing too. You can hear Boss talk about the product. Like he's passionate about it. It's not just a money making thing. Like he wants to get his product to market to have it in front of people as well.
Nothing like creating a product and being the best spokesperson you can for the product you created.
He's a pretty damn good spokesperson.
Pretty damn good spokesperson. So that was fun. I could talk to him for hours.
I don't know if we can handle you having any more lung capacity though. I think the roof off the Toyota Center is still not repaired from last Saturday night once you blew it off.
Wow, what a night that was, huh?
Oh my God. Like it felt like there was some extra pep in your step.
Well, you know, obviously, thank you, TJ, but obviously performing in front of 100 people at the Apex at UFC.
Sure.
One thing. Still bringing my all and enhancing the moment for the fighters and hopefully the fans watching. But, you know, when you've got 20,000 fans staring at you, roaring what you're saying, I'm saying, and now, and they're saying,
right.
And now.
I know, Bruce. Like, I was actually worried for you a little bit. It seemed like you were like, going to lose your air. Like, you were giving it 200 billion percent. You know what I mean?
The more they go, the more I go. So it just brings me up. Up and up.
Yeah, you killed it. It was amazing. In the Michael Chiesa intro, my goodness.
Yeah, that was great. Sorry I said Spokane Valley, California, Washington, but you know what? When we started going face-to-face, it kind of threw me for a second.
But Bruce, you honestly, so many people didn't notice it. And that's the thing. Like, I was actually talking to some people from Fight Pass after that quote-unquote mistake happened, yeah. And it's like, when I make a mistake in play-by-play, we're just in casual conversation, but when you're announcing, like, what are you going to do? Oh, excuse me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work, but you just rolled with it. And I would say 90% of the people never even noticed.
Well, that's fun. It's good to hear because honestly, that was so much fun. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when the fighters want to interact with me like that, because you know me, I never instill a fist bump.
Right.
I go into their
space. It's their moment.
It's their moment. If I detect anything about them not wanting me to get close to them, I don't go.
Right.
Right. And if they're not that kind of fighter, I don't go. But if that's the fighter, this isn't show biz. This is show business. This is about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I'm in there, I'm in my moment. I'm in that mode. They're in that mode. And I never know what I'm going to do till I do it. But man, if a fighter's going to give me an inch, then I'm going to give them a yard and I'm going
right.
to get them going farther. And, you know, it started with Dan Hardy. And
oh my God. Like Dan Hardy stuff was epic.
Epic, and then TJ, and there's many others.
Yeah,
but Chiesa.
I mean, it still keeps growing and growing and growing, and you know that's one thing that I know it's not about you, but you have to understand every fighter that is, you know, coming up the ranks and wants to become a UFC champion. That Bruce Buffer introduction is a bucket list item for them, and you know some of those athletes are a bit of like Carla Esparza. Is just very in her zone. I don't even know if she hears you. You know what I mean? But there are other athletes that are so like feeding off your energy, and it sets the table so well.
It was like Carolina last Saturday night. You know, I'm sorry she lost. You know, she's such a fine fighter and very
great story cool. though for Jessica Penny.
Great story. Oh my God, and she did a great job. Great job.
Yeah.
But you know, Carolina's just casually sitting there. Carolina's idea of getting excited is to look at me and smile at me.
Right.
That's her way of like, I'm pumping her up. You know,
right.
Fighters come in all different shapes, sizes, modes, you know, genders, the whole bit. It's just, it's forever entertaining for me. I'm a kid in a candy store. And that's why I love Chiesa type introductions. I just love a night like that.
But it carries through the television, Bruce. And that's something that, you know, as a fight fan at home, who's watched a lot of fights, I just want to feel the energy, right? Like that's why we're watching. That's why we're interested. And when it comes through the way it did last Saturday night, it's a much more full bodied experience than, you know, just watching a typical fight night.
Thank you, TJ. I really appreciate that. You know, and Texas fans are such rabid fans themselves, the energy that they brought forth. It's a pleasure. I mean, it's a pleasure appearing everywhere. These
right.
days when I have an audience,
yeah.
have an audience, I cherish those moments. I might be a little paranoid and freaked out about COVID, as I should, you know, with this variant going crazy.
But you're not thinking about that when you're inside the octagon and feeding off their energy.
I wear the mask in the octagon. I take it off and I do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Bruce, you know, it's been a tough year, obviously year and a half now, more than that almost. And when we get things that make you feel something like that, that's the hardest thing about COVID, being stuck inside and being in front of a screen, 24 hours a day, it feels like. I just want to feel, and you make me feel.
Well, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very, very much. Your words make my day. Speaking of the COVID situation here, children now, where, you know, where they weren't getting affected, this variant, they now make up 15% of the cases.
Yeah. My son started school today. He's at home. It's independent study, which we're denying him a classroom experience, which I feel bad about. But
my boys are going back to school. Henry goes back to
school. You can choose, essentially. So we're in the L.A. County school district, and yeah. We were able to enroll him in an online thing, which my wife and I went back and forth about. We're not super excited about denying him that social experience, because you and I have talked in the show. It's vital to a young man's growth. But that said, he's not vaccinated because he can't be. He's too young. Until there's a vaccination, we just don't want him to go out and be exposed to anything he doesn't have to be.
Gotcha. Well, California, is it going to have a mandate for teachers that they have to be vaccinated?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I know a lot of people are upset about that, but you realize kids have to be vaccinated to go to school too, right? Like, you have to have a vaccine record. And I don't know. People seem to get upset about the idea of having to prove you're vaccinated, like it's something new. It's not new. You have vaccines to go to certain countries.
Listen, the news stories that are out there, and I don't want to hear about fake news, real news, all that. And like Boss said, everybody has an opinion. Even my neighbor sent me a thing from Alaska where they've gotten past the mandate, no masks, no vaccine, you know, demands, no nothing. She's like, share this with everybody. And I go, you know what? Just don't send me any more of this. That's not who
right.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And if our listeners and viewers, you know, disagree with me, I'm sorry about that, but that's where we're all entitled to our opinion. But I think the news stories here are showing, unless we all get vaccinated, this is going to continue.
Yeah. It's 80%, they say. Like, I think we need a vaccination rate of 80% or higher.
Vaccination of 80% or higher rate in order to deal with this thing. If we do not, just like the Delta variant that came out, which is more transmissible, now there's a new one, and nobody knows has heard about this
yet. Right.
Dr. Jeff, our COVID doctor for the show,
yep.
A new one called Panga that's coming out that is even more transmissible than Delta. And the problem is that the vaccines, just like an antibiotic you take at times, doesn't work anymore.
Right.
We're still guinea pigs on a daily basis. We don't know if the vaccines are lifelong. We don't know if it's 5 to 7 months. We don't know if you get COVID at the end.
We're all going through it together.
We're all going through it together.
Right.
So let's try and take care of this. But anyway, all I can tell everybody out there listening and watching is just stay safe, practice your safety and protocol.
Yeah.
And think about other people aside from yourself.
That's well, it.
I
just
one of the few masked people in Houston. I wore my mask. I was one of the very few that did.
Well, none of us want to be going through it. I think that's the thing that's sort of lost. Like, none of us want to do the things that we're being asked to do. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't. But I do, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And people are going to be upset about that. Fine. But like, it's like we're going somewhere we don't want to go. Like, we're on a long car ride and it's a terrible car ride. Let's get through it together without like hating each other. You know, if we talk and, you know, have productive conversation throughout, then the car ride's not going to be so bad. But if we're yelling at each other, it's just going to make it 100 times worse.
Can't we all get along?
I mean,
can't we all get along?
We're supposed to, but no, the answer is no.
I know. Thank you to certain.
What's your favorite color, Bruce?
Blue.
Okay, well, mine's red. Yours should be red, too.
All right, keep trying that.
I
almost forgot about Boss talking about that for a second. Yeah. A couple of the news stories around. Oh, by the way, the Southwest Airlines, the variant's now hurting their business. They're having issues. And I looked at the red states, the map, just from July of this last month to now. You talk about red, right? It's all red.
Yeah.
It was all red a month ago. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I get the app Citizen on my phone, which Gary Randall actually suggested like a year ago on the phone. And I get that daily report. And that line graph is going up. It's going up. It's going up. So I don't know. Hopefully it goes down soon.
Well, I hope that the old adage of what goes up must come down works on this one more than anything. So
yeah, yeah. Knock on wood.
So Andrew Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, is no longer Governor Cuomo. He's stepping aside in the wake of all the investigations.
It took long enough.
He's resigning. I mean, it's probably the, like people said, to save his career or save his face, if there is such a thing.
I mean,
he's going to face the civil suits, and he's still going to be in the news. And it's just so funny. Like Sammy said last week, a year ago, we're here promoting and purporting him on the show.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden, how the fall from grace happens.
Right. Which some will say because he was, you know, becoming a man of such prominence that maybe he became more of a target because of that. I don't necessarily buy that. But the bottom line is, you know, we've talked about this all the time. He released a video, Cuomo, you know, showing him, you know, hugging and kissing people, men and women, you know, saying this is how I embrace people. And it's like, that's great. That's true. Fine, you embrace people that way. But the allegations that are thrown your way is not about these casual interactions. So I don't know what these casual interactions that you're highlighting really says about any of the more, you know, grotesque, nefarious type of accusations that have been thrown his way.
Yeah, groping and little hugging is, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. But again, the proof will come out in the pudding. We'll see what happens. You know, this crypto situation, crypto is crazy. The markets are good. I didn't invest in crypto. I went ahead and made a little investment a couple of weeks ago. It's already gone up 50%. You know, caught one of those upswings.
Yeah.
But to show you how, I wonder about this too, because hackers, just stole $600 million in cryptocurrency.
Right.
From a decentralized finance platform called Poly Network. So how safe are these networks in which we're buying the crypto? I'm not saying don't do it. I know it's a big investment.
It's volatile and it's risky.
It's volatile.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that it's not insured by the federal government. You know what I mean? So just know that.
But a lot more people are taking it. You know, we'll see what's up. Although I don't mind making a little money in it, but I still think it's just as volatile as can be.
Yeah.
So a comic book came out, you know, in the modern day era we're at. And supposedly in the Batman and Robin comic book, the new comic book now that's come out has Robin coming out as bisexual.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, that's a different layer to the story. And that's something, too, that comic books, they always have these reboots, right? And they have to do things to change stories because you can't have the same story over and over again. And I think it's interesting to have that sort of evolution to it, you know, and be motivated to sort of tell a story. Because no one's ever really thought of a story where one of the heroes is a bisexual person. So that's going to be inspiring to a whole new community in a different way.
I think it's cool. Just like I think it's cool if people want to come out and say who they are, don't hold it in. If Robin's been holding it in for the 81 years that Batman's been out, it's time for Robin to come out. So.
Right, yeah.
Good for you, Robin. Good for you. Don't hold it back. Let's see. Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Trebek, they finally decided on the replacement host, not one, but two.
Who?
They are bringing in Mark Rich. And let's see here we got.
The first one you said I got bad internet connection there, so I didn't hear it.
Yeah, Mayim Bialik. Mayim Bialik will be.
Mayim Bialik. She was Blossom on TV. Yeah.
What does she play?
We got a bad internet connection right now. A long time ago, she played Blossom on NBC, and then she was also on The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, that's right. That's where I recognize her from.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
She's incredibly intelligent, which I think you need to be to be the host of Jeopardy. But she's also personable. Like I recognize her from Blossom when I was a kid. So we're going back to the early 90s. So that's a good pick.
I'm trying to see the other one. It's a man, but I don't see his name.
I'll try to use the Google machine here.
I'll tell you, if there was one TV show that I would have loved to have been able to host, that would have been it.
You wouldn't have been able to accommodate that with your schedule.
Well, you know, they film 5 in a day or 2 days and film 10 shows a week. I mean, it could have been done. It'd just be a lot of work. But
Mike Richards. Who is Mike Richards? I don't know who that is.
Mike Richards was actually executive producer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
did he do a guest appearance during all the guest stuff or no?
I'm not sure. I haven't been watching. But you know what? More power to him. It's like this show, Jeopardy, will go on forever.
It should.
I think it's great. It's good, two good choice. She's very likable.
Oh yeah, no. Mayim Bialik is awesome.
Very, very likable. Okay, last little collector's news here is Mattel. Let's see. Oh, they had a one-time Barbie penthouse. It's an LA penthouse that was owned by the founders of Mattel, the makers of Barbie.
Okay.
It's all Barbied out. Anyway, they're just selling it for $10 million. You know, just little.
What's, I mean, I wonder what general property value is and how much of the markup is because of the nostalgic sort of thing.
A three-bedroom, three-bath condo in the Century Towers, which is in Century City. And I know the building, they bought this place in 2012 for $2 million. So I don't know.
That's big.
It's probably inflated because of the collector value.
Yeah, it's probably a couple million, right? So probably average market, maybe seven.
I'm guessing. I'm not a realtor. I don't know.
Me neither. I mean, I'm just, yeah, I'm a renter. I'm a renter whose landlord keeps calling him because I had to have him come out because my sprinklers went on last night and then they didn't shut off. They're still going right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Use some, that water that's so needed in California.
I know. And we tried to have like an emergency shutoff and we couldn't find a shutoff to the irrigation system. So we actually have to have the main shutoff and then they need to reinstall a sprinkler. So fine.
For your water bill, TJ, I'm sure you'll really appreciate it when it comes in.
Yeah. No, I'm going to try to pass that along to somebody else because, it's going to be expensive.
Good luck with that one, TJ. If you ever dealt with utilities trying to make that kind of thing happen, you'll be on the phone.
Well, I mean, I'll just take it out of my rent, you know?
Oh, there you go. That's perfect. That's perfect.
That shouldn't piss anybody off.
No. All right. No UFC this weekend. UFC will be back in action on the 21st. I will not be announcing on the 21st. I'll be back at the UFC Apex on the 28th.
Yep.
I'm going to enjoy a couple of weeks. Not off. I got plenty of work to do. It's Time Energy is releasing in the UK this month. We'll make that announcement. And I already told you about Puncher's Chance in Canada. I want to tell everybody, thank you for watching the show, which is sponsored by Puncher's Chance and by FanDuel Sportsbook, the place to go for fantasy sports and also for betting online for sports. So before I sign off, TJ, go ahead and let us know what's up.
You check out Fight Pass's original series called Extra Rounds. It's myself, Dean Thomas, Ray Longo, Pearl Gonzalez. Without fights this week, we are still doing a show coming up on Thursday live at 5 p.m. Pacific. What we're doing is in celebration of UFC 264 becoming available on Fight Pass for users for free. You can watch that third fight between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. We're taking a look at some of the luminaries from that card and looking at their past performances. So we're kind of digging into the archive a little bit, grabbing some other stuff that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with 264 either, and Ray Longo and Dean Thomas are going to break it down. So it's always fun to hear the coaches talk about fights from a technical standpoint. So sort of a different look than what we normally do on Extra Rounds, but it should be fun.
Just nice to see how your show is taking legs and growing, and I have a funny feeling I'm going to be seeing you by the Octagon more.
Maybe. We'll see. I think next year I should be out a lot more, so hopefully that is the case.
I'll put in my two cents where I can. I know who you deal with at UFC.
I appreciate that, Buff. Thank you.
No problem. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for watching. Pleasure to have the man himself, El Guapo. I used to call him the second most handsome man in MMA, or I call myself the second most handsome man in MMA, but Boss and I used to kid each other like crazy about that.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good dude.
He's a good dude. And what did I always tell you? In a street fight?
Oh, that's the number one guy.
Right here. Boss.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
Here. Chuck, right over here.
Right. Okay. And you're going to go undefeated. You might not even have to do anything, Buff. You might be able to just sit back and let them take care of it. But if I know you, you'll probably go out there and get some of that kickboxing in yourself.
If you're going to join the party, party in the party.
That's right. Go big or go home, right?
That's it. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest. I wish you all a wonderful week. Please stay safe. Follow your practice of safety protocol in this COVID pandemic world in which we live. But live life. Be happy and enjoy your life. Set your goals, write them down, learn about them, be the best you can be when you step on the path to achieve your goals, because if you are, then you're winning, and that's what we're all about on It's Time Radio is winning. Go to Cameo, get your cameos from Boss Rutan, get your cameos from TJ DeSantis, and I am flooded with them, and I'm loving every minute of enjoying filming them for you. So thank you very much. Again, proceeds partial are going to charities for animal, military, and children charities. So with that being said, happy, happy week, everybody. See you next week. Buffer out. Cheers.